He thought he could rent a fantasy and stay in control. To make his high society ex squirm, Malcolm Northwood, a successful yet emotionally fractured hedge fund manager, hires an elite escort to pose as his new fiancée. She's elegant, witty, disarming, and knows exactly how to win over the crowd. But from the moment she enters his world, reality begins to fracture. What was supposed to be a three-week ruse quickly morphs into a psychological war. The woman he paid to play the part begins rewriting the script, gaslighting him, seducing his business partner, and forging signatures on wedding contracts he swears he never signed. When he tries to end the arrangement, she counters with a bombshell: they're legally married. But it's what she wants next that truly breaks him. Because this isn't about love. It's about ownership, leverage, and secrets Malcolm thought he buried long ago. So, if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Setup. A perfect illusion. Malcolm Northwood didn't believe in love. Not anymore. It was something he had scrubbed out of his vocabulary the day Naomi Harland walked out of their penthouse in Manhattan, leaving behind only her engagement ring and a smirk. She had married the CEO of his biggest competitor within 8 months, an act Malcolm considered less betrayal and more declaration of war. So when he heard she'd be attending the exclusive Solstice Gala hosted by the Prescott Foundation, Malcolm didn't hesitate. He opened his encrypted client browser, filtered through high-tier escorts, and clicked on her profile. Sasha Wren, age 28, specialty, role play, long-term companionship, discretion guaranteed, rates, astronomical, reputation, impeccable. He wired half the fee that night. Their first meeting was clinical. Sasha arrived in a cream trench coat, espresso heels, and the kind of confidence you couldn't fake. She didn't ask about sex, only backstory. She wanted to know how they met, what she should call him in public, what allergies she should pretend to have. It was an interview. "You're paying me to be unforgettable," she said, crossing her legs with casual dominance. "So don't give me mediocrity, give me motivation." He handed her a three-ring binder titled Operation Naomi. Sasha skimmed it and grinned. "You want to weaponize charm?" she asked. "I want to make her regret ever leaving," Malcolm said, "and I want to win back a merger that depends on me appearing emotionally stable." "Then we're getting married," she said with a smirk. "At least on paper." Malcolm laughed. That was supposed to be the joke. The gala was held in an 18th century mansion turned museum, glittering with chandeliers and $50,000 smiles. Sasha entered on Malcolm's arm in a backless emerald gown that stole every eye in the room. Naomi froze when she saw them. Sasha didn't speak. She let the silence sting. Then, like a seasoned actress, she leaned into Malcolm's ear and whispered something obscene. Loud enough for Naomi to hear, the ice cracked. Naomi stormed off to the bar. Sasha grinned. "You're welcome." Malcolm was stunned, not by her performance, but by the effect. He felt powerful, alive, reborn. He extended the contract for another 2 weeks. They appeared at more events, charity auctions, gallery openings, a private ski weekend with two senators. Sasha played the role of doting fiancé to perfection. She laughed at all the right times, touched his wrist when he spoke, and made even the most cynical socialites believe they were madly in love. Malcolm began sleeping with her, but even then, it felt like part of the act. She never stayed the night, never let her guard down, until one morning she did. He woke up to the smell of fresh coffee. Sasha was in his kitchen, barefoot, making omelets and humming. "I thought you didn't do mornings," he said. "I don't," she said, but I wanted to see what it felt like. It was the most dangerous thing she could have said. 1 week later, Malcolm's business partner, Jordan Fields, invited them to a rooftop cocktail party. Sasha wore a silver dress that looked like it had been poured over her skin. She was radiant, untouchable, but she wasn't untouchable to Jordan. Malcolm noticed it first when Sasha laughed a little too hard at one of Jordan's jokes, then the way her fingers lingered on his shoulder, harmless flirtation, maybe. But then he saw them at the edge of the balcony, too close, too quiet. He said nothing, for now. Back home, Sasha was all warmth. She pulled Malcolm into bed, whispered that she was his, and made him forget the shadows in her eyes. The next morning, she was gone. No note, no goodbye. In her place was an envelope on the kitchen counter. Inside, a marriage certificate, dated, stamped, filed, signed by Malcolm Northwood and Sasha Wren. Malcolm tore through his penthouse like a man possessed. There had to be a mistake. He never signed anything. It must be forged. But the notary's stamp was real. The witness signature was Jordan's. He dialed Sasha's number. Disconnected. He drove to the agency's office. Closed. He went to Jordan's loft. No one answered. Malcolm began to unravel. The next day, his accounts were frozen. A lawyer called to confirm the transfer of assets to a joint marital trust. Another letter arrived, handwritten. You hired me to play a role, Malcolm, but you never asked who I was before the script started. You didn't think to wonder if I had my own reasons for accepting the job. You never asked what Naomi did to me. Malcolm stared at the page, unsure what it meant. Was Sasha connected to Naomi? Was this all revenge? No. That would mean Naomi was involved, unless... A second envelope arrived. Inside was a flash drive. Malcolm plugged it in and watched in horror. It was footage of him, drunk, vulnerable, weeping, talking about stock manipulation, trade secrets, things no one was supposed to hear. Sasha was off camera, coaxing him gently. You trust me, don't you, baby? You can tell me everything. The drive auto-deleted after the video ended. Malcolm was trapped. He couldn't go to the authorities. He was implicated in multiple felonies. He couldn't annul the marriage. Sasha had evidence of cohabitation, intimacy, and witnesses. And worse, she was back. She showed up at his office that Friday, looking like she belonged there. Hi, honey, she said. Just picking you up for our dinner with your mother. My mother's dead, I know, she whispered, leaning close. But the board doesn't. They drove in silence to a 5-star restaurant. Sasha ordered for both of them. She smiled at passers-by, gripped his hand tightly under the table. I have something exciting to tell you, she said. We're throwing a wedding. Malcolm nearly choked. We're already married. Legally, sure. But appearances matter, darling. We're planning a ceremony, a big one. Your friends, your enemies, your shareholders, everyone will be there. No. Oh, yes. You don't want your dirty secrets to get out, do you? Malcolm stared at her. She looked euphoric, beautiful, dangerous. He realized too late that she hadn't fallen for the role. She had been playing a different game entirely, and now the rules belonged to her. Chapter 2. The Climax. Vows, vengeance, and a trap you can't escape. Malcolm Northwood had been backed into many corners before, but never like this. Never by someone he invited in. 3 days after Sasha announced their upcoming wedding, invitations began circulating through his social and corporate circles. Not emails. Hand-delivered envelopes on embossed ivory cardstock, sealed with wax. You are cordially invited to the celebration of Sasha Wren and Malcolm Northwood. Date, December 3rd. Venue, the Arboretum Hall. Dress code, black tie. He'd made no guest list, no bookings, no calls. And yet, it was all happening. The venue was locked in. a luxury floral designer had called to confirm peonies and black orchids. His tailor was already adjusting a Tom Ford tuxedo per Sasha's instructions. And still, she hadn't spoken a word to him since that dinner. He tried going to Jordan, confronting him. "Why did you witness that marriage license?" Malcolm asked through gritted teeth. Jordan tilted his head. "She said you were drunk and you wanted to surprise your ex. Thought it was just more games between you and Naomi." "I never signed anything." Jordan shrugged. "You sure? I watched you scribble on it. Maybe you don't remember." There was something in Jordan's voice. Amusement or guilt or both. "Are you sleeping with her?" Jordan just smiled. "You should have never brought her around, Mal. She plays the part better than Naomi ever did." That night, Malcolm smashed a whiskey bottle against his office wall. Then, the next morning, he found something chilling. Sasha had transferred herself onto his company's emergency contact list. She'd added herself as spouse in his private insurance policy. And worst of all, she had legally changed her name to Sasha Northwood. He went to his attorney, Valerie Cross, a razor-sharp divorce strategist with more ice than empathy. "She's manipulated the timeline perfectly," Valerie said, tapping the marriage certificate. "She has photo evidence, notarized documents, and corroborating witnesses. If you claim coercion, she'll paint you as mentally unstable and sexually exploitative. I hired her to fake a relationship, not trap me into one. Do you have a signed contract stating that?" Malcolm was silent. "You're in deeper than you think. She can take half of your company's value, and if she goes public with those recordings..." Valerie didn't need to finish the sentence. He tried confronting Sasha at her apartment. He didn't have a key, never had. But the doorman recognized him and let him up. Her place was spotless, cold, designed with surgical precision. She wasn't there, but something was. In the bedroom, Malcolm found a photo collage on the wall, dozens of Polaroids, her and him, her and Jordan, her and Naomi. One photo in the center had a red circle drawn around it, Naomi and Sasha, clinking champagne glasses, the inscription, "To new beginnings." He stumbled backward. It wasn't just a revenge game. It was a premeditated trap. Naomi and Sasha knew each other. They planned this. Naomi called him that night. "I warned you," she said coolly. "You always thought women were pawns in your game. Guess you didn't see the queens on the board." "What did you do?" "We made a bet, Malcolm. Years ago, after you dumped Sasha for calling you out on insider trading, she was your mistress before she was your fantasy. You remember that?" "Of course not. You never remember the women you throw away." He froze. Sasha was the intern, the one he paid off after a misunderstanding in Geneva. "I didn't recognize her," he whispered. "No, but she recognized you, and now... you're going to walk down that aisle and smile, or she'll bury you in federal court." The day of the wedding arrived like a funeral. Everything was perfect, too perfect. The room glittered with crystal chandeliers, black roses, and mirrors lining the aisle. It looked like a gothic dream. He stood there in silence, waiting, trembling. Then Sasha entered, dressed in a white lace gown that hugged her like sin. She walked slowly, controlled, powerful. People whispered around him, enchanted by the story of their whirlwind romance. None of them knew the truth, except for Naomi, who sat in the front row wearing black, sipping champagne. Sasha reached the altar, gripped his hand. "You're going to say, 'I do, Malcolm,'" she whispered beneath her veil. "And if you try to run, check your mother's grave tomorrow. I had her exhumed. There's cocaine planted in the casket. One call and your legacy turns to ash." Malcolm nearly collapsed. He said the words, "I do." She smiled, radiant, The crowd erupted in applause, and the trap closed. After the ceremony, Sasha escorted him into a private lounge upstairs. She locked the door, sat across from him. "This isn't about love, Malcolm," she said. "I figured that out when you hijacked my life. It's about leverage. You spent years manipulating women into silence, hiding your financial crimes behind charm and control. Naomi and I wanted to teach you a lesson, not just about power, about consequences. You could have destroyed me." She raised an eyebrow. "Who says I won't?" He laughed, bitter. "So what now? You own me." "No," she said, standing up. "Now you owe me. There's a contract in the safe. You'll transfer 25% of your company to my name, sign a permanent non-disclosure agreement, and publicly commit to our marriage for a minimum of 2 years. In exchange, I don't expose your recordings. Naomi deletes the Geneva files, and you don't go to prison. And if I don't, then your world burns. Your fortune crumbles. And I make sure everyone remembers you, not as a victim, but as a predator who got played by the women he underestimated." She walked to the door. "Oh, and one more thing," she said, turning back. "Happy anniversary. Our first night together was exactly 2 years ago today. You were drunk. You told me I was just a pretty distraction, that no one would believe me." Malcolm's stomach twisted. He remembered now. The hotel in Berlin. The intern with the sapphire necklace. Sasha had planned this from the start. She walked out, leaving him alone in the room. Not broken, but beaten. In the weeks that followed, Malcolm played the role, smiled for cameras, held her hand at fundraisers, kissed her on magazine covers. Behind the scenes, he signed everything, gave her what she wanted. And every time he looked into her eyes, he saw something deeper than victory. He saw justice, twisted, but real. She didn't just con him, she exposed him. And for once in his life, Malcolm couldn't manipulate his way out.